This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The new mayor of Washington, D.C., Adrian Fenty, wants to take over the public schools here. He hopes to fix a system where nearly 4 in 5 schools failed to meet standards set by No Child Left Behind, the federal law that turns 5 years old today. And he points to precedents. The mayors of New York, Cleveland, Boston, and a few other cities faced similar problems and won the power to run public schools from City Hall. The mayors of Albuquerque, Seattle, and Los Angeles would like to. And most of those mayors point to Chicago. After more than a decade in the charge of Mayor Richard M. Daley, test scores are up in Chicago, and many low-performing schools have been closed while new neighborhood, charter, and magnet schools continue to open. Mayor Daley calls it a great success, but critics oppose his top-down control of their neighborhood schools and argue that student progress came in spite of what they call heavy-handed intervention. Later in the program, on the opinion page, Amy Dickinson joins us with advice on mean and nosy neighbors, parents catching teens with pornography, and whether to rat out your adulterous friend. We'll also take your questions on the life of an advice columnist. But now, who should control the public schools? What system do you have where you live? Is it working? Give us a call. The number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Washington, D.C. Mayor Fenty will join us a bit later in the program. We begin by going to our bureau in Chicago and to Arnie Duncan, the chief executive officer of the Chicago Public Schools. And Mr. Duncan, it's a pleasure to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
In Chicago, before the mayor took over, and in most places now, citizens elected a school board, which then chose a superintendent. Why is less democracy good?
Well, I don't know if I quite agree with you that it's less democracy, but let me tell you why clear lines of accountability and authority make sense. Historically, it was an elected school board. There are far too many members. No one knew who those members were. I think one of the former school board presidents actually ended up going to jail for doing some things that, you know, really were hurting children, you know, taking money from poor kids for personal gain. And what you have now is a mayor and a board and a management team. They're all committed to having students be successful. And the type of progress you've seen over the past, you know, 11, 12 years would have been unimaginable if you didn't have those clear lines of authority and accountability. What's also been hugely important here in Chicago is it's not just a public schools initiative to try and improve the quality of public education. The mayor's really rallied the entire city. So whether it's the business community, the philanthropic community, other sister city agencies, everyone's trying to make us the best big city school system in America. And that's good for the city, and most importantly, it's good for children.
Mm-hmm. Your title, though, for example, you're the chief executive officer. There are other board members who are not professional educators.
Our board, I would argue, rivals that of any Fortune 500 company. You have some extraordinary community members. You have top-notch lawyers. You have a bank president. And what you see, not always, but too often when you have an elected board, you have, I'll just give you some examples, you have the white board member, the African-American board member, Latino board member, the member representing special education, the member representing, you know, gifted students, and everyone sort of plays to their narrow constituency. What we have is a board that can take the long-term view, that has courage, that can make tough decisions, and isn't looking out for any special interest. And what you see in other places is a level of dysfunction that ultimately hurts children.
There's some level of dysfunction in Chicago school, too. And one of the answers that the mayor has developed over the past 10 years is to close schools that aren't working, which is always controversial.
It's very tough medicine. It's not something that, you know, I look forward to, enjoy doing, and there's lots of heartache involved. But when you have schools that not for, you know, 2 years or 5 years, but literally for decades that have underserved children, I believe in my heart that we as a public school system in those situations are perpetuating failure, social failure, and perpetuating poverty. And our students desperately need a better education. They need it now. So it is true. We have closed a handful of schools for academic failure the past couple of years. That's tough medicine. The much more exciting news is we've opened close to 50 new schools in neighborhoods that have been historically underserved. Some wonderful, wonderful models. And it's schools that we've closed and then reopened, same neighborhood, same building, same children. Those children are performing in some situations 2 to 3 times better. So it speaks volumes to how important high expectations are, to what, what our students can do despite any tough situations at home, where we have the highest of expectations, where they're visionary educators. And we're committed to seeing every child graduate from high school and build a positive future for themselves. We have to do that. There's no acceptable dropout rate anymore. There's no stockyards of steel mills where students can get jobs. And we have to work very, very hard to continue to get better every day and to challenge the status quo.
Our guest is Arne Duncan, Chief Executive Officer of the Chicago Public Schools. If you'd like to join our conversation on who should control public schools, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Jessica. Jessica is calling us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
I have a question. My concern is that here in Tallahassee, we have something called a DCA, a District Advisory Committee,
mm-hmm.
and there are representatives consisting of parents from each school. And we also, and they talk to our school board. We relay our problems and concerns about individual schools. It seems like the voice of parents who know the schools and know the teachers and know the problems is being drowned out by the mayor. I was wondering, how is that being addressed, or how is that being mm-hmm. how is the parents' voice being tied into the needs of our child? Because we know our children
right.
better than the mayor does.
Arne Duncan?
Yeah, it's a great question, and obviously there's nothing more important than having parents involved in their local schools. And I'll tell you, historically, I really felt parents weren't invited into our schools here in Chicago. Schools are really isolated from the community. There have been a number of things that have changed. First of all, about 20 years ago, local school councils were created where parents and community members and teachers help to govern each of those local schools, and it's so important to have that voice. Secondly, we've really tried to open the doors to our parents in real and symbolic ways. We're trying to make our schools community centers that are open long hours and bring parents in. We have over 100 what we call community schools today, where you have dozens of parents coming to school each day, not for their children's education, but for their own GED classes and ESL classes and family literacy nights. And the more our schools are truly community anchors, the more they're serving not just our children but their families and parents, the better our students are going to do. So whether it's through governance, whether it's through literally opening the doors during the school day and after school, the more parents are actively engaged, the better our children are going to do.
Jessica, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
There are, of course, some people in Chicago who do not agree that mayoral control leads to better schools. Julie Westerhoff is executive director of Parents United for Responsible Education. That's PURE. It's a parents advocacy group in Chicago. She's also the mother of two Chicago public school graduates, and she is also with us today from our bureau in Chicago. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Neil.
You look at the statistics. Test scores are up. Graduation rates are higher. Middle-class families are coming back to schools, at least in some districts. Couldn't you say that mayoral control is working?
Well, you know, the improvements in the Chicago public schools really started, just as Mr. Duncan mentioned, 20 years ago when we instituted the local school councils. And I couldn't have had a better lead-in than the question from the parent in Tallahassee, that as a matter of fact, as the mayor has taken control, the voice of parents has been shut down. And in fact, under the new schools that are being developed, our local school councils are being dismantled. So it's a very big concern for parents. We understand that the parents in New York City have a similar concern with what's been happening there. We're not looking for the mayor to control the schools. We want mayors to lead. And the control needs to be shared. There needs to be a balance. And what we've found in Chicago is actually over the last 20 years, with the local school councils, that strong site-based management that is democratically elected, its parent majority, we have seen at least 144 schools out of our system that started very low performing that have consistently improved. And yet, for some reason, they're not being looked at as models. We want to have the real models looked at and paid attention to, even if perhaps the mayor can't take credit for it.
Well, can't you give the mayor some credit? You say 20 years, he's been in charge the last 10.
Right. And yet, unfortunately, many of the things that have caused problems, some of the same research about the 144 improving schools shows that there are about 100 schools that were also low performing that were intervened in with things like probation, high rates of student retention, these kind of get tough policies, these sloganeering type of educational strategies that actually don't work. They damage children, and those schools have been flatlining for the last 10 years.
Arne Duncan?
Well, if you look at the facts, 97% of our schools improved this past year. You know, test scores at all-time highs, as you said. Almost two-thirds of our students are meeting state standards for the first time ever. And there has been this transformation. If you go back 10, 12 years, it's a scary number. Staggering, almost half our students, 48%, were testing in the bottom quartile. Today, we're now below national norms. We've moved all those students out of the bottom quartiles, and we're now below 25% in that bottom quartile. And again, almost two-thirds of students are now meeting state standards. So there's been tremendous progress. I think there's lots of credit that can go around. I don't whether it's the mayor or parents or community leaders or principals or teachers. When things are going well, there's lots of credit to share. And I think everyone deserves great applause for the hard work and the transformation here. But the fact of the matter is results have never been better by any measure.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Maureen. Maureen giving us a call from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I was just wanting to comment about the ability of administrators to fire employees that don't, you know, serve students well. I'm an adjunct instructor of math, and I have remedial students. A third of our incoming class needs remedial help. These kids can't even, they haven't even mastered their basic multiplication and addition facts. They can't do integers. They don't know how to add fractions out of high school. And I'm talking about kids coming out of suburban, you know, mm-hmm. suburban high schools. And I think it's got to be even more the case in urban schools. And I think people need the ability to be able to say, look, if you're not doing your job, you need to leave. The kids are getting passed on without basic skills, and I think that's a crime.
Yeah, Julie Westerhoff, earlier Arnie Duncan and certainly the mayor have been talking about political accountability. Also, there's more accountability of teachers and principals under the system, isn't there?
Well, our concern is that over the years, the schools have not been getting the resources that they need. An example would be one of the schools that Mr. Duncan cited, a new school that's been opened with the same children, but an entirely new staff. And yet this school has a number of Golden Apple winners, which is a teacher award, some National Board Certified teachers, and the teachers are receiving $10,000 stipends each. How can we compete? Those are the resources that every school needs. And you have to be held accountable, but only if you have the resources.
Maureen, thanks very much for the call. And we're going to take a short break. When we return, D.C. Mayor Adrian Fenty will be here. He hopes to take over the public school system in Washington, D.C. We'll also take more of your calls, 800-989-8255. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing the perennial debate over public education this hour. Who should control the schools? In a few minutes, we'll speak with Washington, D.C.'s new mayor, Adrian Fenty, about his plan to take over the D.C. public school system. It's a debate also underway in Seattle and in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Right now, we're talking with Arnie Duncan, chief executive officer of the Chicago Public Schools, as well as Julie Westerhoff, executive director of PURE, or Parents United for Responsible Education. At our website, we've posted a link to a report card for Chicago's public schools since they've come under mayoral control. There's also a link to Julie Westerhoff's site, Parents United for Responsible Education. That's all at npr.org/talk. And we'd like to hear how the system where you live is working or not. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is talk@npr.org. And Arnie Duncan, you cited some statistics a moment ago that showed, yes, things are improving in Chicago's public schools, but there's clearly, looking at those same statistics, still a very long way to go.
Absolutely. If you go back 20 years, we were called the worst school system in America by the former Secretary of Education, Bill Bennett, and he probably wasn't far wrong. But there has been dramatic improvement, and we're not going to rest until we become the best big city school system in America. We think we have a unique opportunity here, and much of that opportunity really has to do with the mayor's passion and leadership, and again, a governance structure that makes sense. I talk to my colleagues around the country on a fairly frequent basis, and too often where you have the elected boards, and each member has their special constituency, people in my job spend a disproportionate and inordinate amount of time just trying to sort of manage their boards. And I can tell you this work is too hard. There's too much hard work that has to go on the schools, and that has to be the focus. And I have the space and the freedom to work here in Chicago that other people just don't have. And it gives us this extraordinary opportunity. I would also challenge the assumption that it's less democratic. I think it's almost the ultimate in democracy and accountability. If, you know, if I do a bad job, if we don't improve, you know, throw the mayor out, throw me out, you know, bring in a new team to get better. Historically, there wasn't any sense of that. Again, no one knew who these elected members were. It, you know, they were hidden, and there was no sense of accountability. There's no sense of how to get things done, and all that has changed fairly dramatically. And it's not, obviously, nothing, there's no silver bullet. It's not the entire reason why things have gotten better, but it has been hugely important to the progress we've seen here in Chicago. I met with Agent Fenty here and when he visited, and I strongly encouraged him to work as hard as he could to gain control there in Washington. The system there has been dysfunctional for years. Students have been terribly served, and they need a dramatic change, and I think he has the vision and the passion and leadership to do that, and I think that would be one of the best things he could do in terms of creating a legacy from day one would be to try and take control of the public schools there in Washington.
Mm. We'll get to Mayor Fenty in just a moment. Here's an email, though, we got from Miriam in Chicago. As the parent of two schools in the Chicago public schools and a third one who's about to start, I'd like to say what's dearly missing from our schools is money, no matter who runs the schools. Even involved parents, good teachers, and good principals cannot change the fact that we have 30 kids in our kindergarten classes and even 35 in our third grades. Merely looking at the numbers may tell us that our children are learning more, does not tell us everything about how they feel while doing their work. And Julie Westerhoff, if you look at that report card done by an independent group, it does show that spending per pupil, I think, in the last 10 years is up $6 per kid. Much of that is due to increased state and federal money. But again, the mayor's got the clout to help bring that money in.
And, you know, I do want to thank the mayor for taking a strong stand on public school funding reform. And Mr. Duncan has been out in front of that as well. In fact, that's what, as a parent, I would really like our political and business leaders to put their minds to rather than trying to tell teachers and parents how to run schools. You know, people have to understand that the No Child Left Behind Act really stems from a regular conference of mayors and business people who get together to decide how education should be run in this country. And I think that there are a lot of people left out of that discussion. We really need to have business and politicians doing their jobs. Their first job, their first responsibility is to make sure that our schools get enough resources. In Illinois, we're sadly lacking. We call it a state of shame because we're 48th out of 50 states in terms of per capita funding for students. It's absolutely disgraceful, and that needs to be changed. Yes, we do need to hold our schools accountable, but if the model schools require additional resources, why aren't our regular neighborhood schools receiving those same resources? Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned at the start of the broadcast, the latest city proposed mayoral control of public schools is right here in Washington, D.C. The newly elected mayor, Adrian Fenty, is joining us here in Studio 3A. And Mayor Fenty, it's a pleasure to have you on Talk of the Nation.
No, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
After you're listening to this debate, you sure you want to go through with this?
No, it's a very great debate. I'm just sitting here loving to hear the discussion. And it's good to hear Arne Duncan again, who we did have the opportunity to meet with while we were in Chicago.
Yeah, you met with him. I know you were up in New York to talk with officials there as well. What questions did you have?
Well, I had a ton of questions, as you can imagine. And then after I asked a ton of questions, I asked Joel Klein, I said, you know, Chancellor, you know, what is the number one difference between the system you have in New York and how it existed prior to Bloomberg changing it and how it exists in the District of Columbia right now? And he answered in one word, he said results. And I think that's what this all comes down to, because we've got great ideas and great vision here in the District of Columbia, but if you have a system that doesn't enable you to make quick, efficient decisions, nothing will ever happen.
And yet there are people who are going to resist this plan to say, look, we fought for local control of our schools. So we want parents to be involved. The most important thing is to have parents and teachers and principals involved in their school.
You know, I there's no question about it that there will be some people who don't agree. But that's going to be the case with any proposal we come up with for any agency I run. And you expect that and you welcome that. And we'll listen to everybody. But we've done a lot of deliberation. I knocked on doors for 2 years here in the District of Columbia campaign. And I've been on the council for 6 years, lived in the city all my life. Arne Duncan is right. I mean, there's no reason in the world why in the nation's capital our school system should rank at the bottom of the country. And so we've got to do something dramatic, and having the superintendent report directly to the mayor, where there's no more excuses, no more finger pointing, and we can just use this enormous amount of money we put into public education for the betterment of the children.
Mm-hmm. There are political differences, obviously, between New York and Washington and particularly Chicago, where I think Mayor Richard M. Daley has been described as mayor for life, and you might like to be, but you're probably not going to be. Nevertheless, those kinds of differences, is everything analogous? Are the systems in Chicago and New York appropriate to the system here in Washington, D.C.?
You know, there are differences, and that's why our proposal is not exactly the same as what Chicago has, and theirs isn't exactly the same as New York or Philadelphia or Los Angeles. But to be honest with you, the similarities seem really, really glaring, where you have school systems that because of the way that they're run and the governance structure have too many cooks in the kitchen. And because of that, these kind of entrenched problems, these entrenched sociological problems which hold back education in the inner city, you know, never get solved. And so what they've done in Chicago, we were very impressed when we went there, same as in New York, they're thinking outside the box. They're trying new things. They're having the private sector come in and help to run schools. They're closing down schools that don't work. They're saying that if kids can't read by the time they get to the third grade, we're not going to promote them. In essence, they're making really tough decisions that probably can't be made with a political board structure. Mm.
Julie Westerhoff, I wonder if you might have any advice for Mayor Fenty.
Oh, I'm delighted to speak to the mayor. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon.
Yes, I was actually out in D.C. a few weeks ago at the invitation of a parent group who had some concerns about your proposal. And what we suggested to them is that they very seriously talk to you about making sure there's a balance of power, not just mayoral control, but a balance of power so that you can lead, but the structures can be in place for everyone's voice to be heard. And even though you want to get things done, it's more important that things be done right. And in order to make sure things are done right, you really have to listen to all the people that are closest to the school level. So I would just urge you to make sure that you have a strong structure in place where you will listen, not just a perfunctory or pro forma type of parent advisory group, but to give parents a real role. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll be really pleased with the results.
Yeah, this is a wonderful suggestion. We've tried to respond to a lot of the concerns. That's why we took a couple months before coming out with our proposal. We have an ombudsman who we're going to propose, which will be separate from the chancellor, report up through our deputy mayor, where our parents can have an opportunity to talk and share ideas and recommendations. I think we'll follow what New York did, where you have a parent resource person in every school. And then we're actually very different than a lot of the other jurisdictions, going to keep the elected board. The elected board will be in charge of more state-like functions, more policy-like functions, which I think is appropriate for a board of any sort to just kind of look at things from the 30,000-foot level. They won't actually run the day-to-day operations of the school. That would just be the chancellor. But we believe that the combination of those three things will allow for more parent input. And we've made some other adjustments in talking with our really, really strong parent community here in D.C.
Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Monica. Monica with us from Chicago.
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me on Talk of the Nation. I am a parent of a kindergarten child in the city of Chicago, and my question is to you, Mr. Duncan, because I still have to listen to this show. I'm still not understanding how is the mayoral system any better than the state system without significant parent involvement. Here in the city of Chicago, many of the parents that probably could be most involved opt out of the Chicago public school system because the normal neighborhood schools, most of them are not safe, and also they're low performing. And then to get into the more model schools, you have to go through a very competitive testing process with your children. Mm-hmm. So me, as a parent of a five-year-old, I've just opted out of the Chicago school system altogether for private schooling.
Arnie Duncan.
Sure, and I am also a parent of a five-year-old, and I didn't opt out. I sent my daughter to our neighborhood school, and there are wonderful neighborhood schools throughout Chicago. You're seeing more and more middle-class parents coming not just to the elite magnet schools but to the neighborhood schools. We actually track these numbers very, very closely, and lots of families with multiple options, whether it's fleeing to the suburbs or going to a private or parochial school, are starting to choose to go to neighborhood schools. So we have a long way to go there. We're nowhere near where we want to be yet, but it's actually fascinating. We have a program that my daughter's actually enrolled in, called a tuition-based pre-K program. And we have hundreds of parents throughout Chicago, like my wife and I, paying $7,500 a year to send our children to the local neighborhood elementary school for pre-K. And we have long waiting lists. And so there's a huge demand there. We want to continue to attract families with multiple options and want to continue to get better. But there's a whole host of neighborhood schools in communities throughout Chicago where parents with multiple options are choosing to go to those neighborhood schools. And we want to continue to build upon that and continue to increase those numbers every single year.
Monica, changing your mind?
No, not really, because the schools in my neighborhood just aren't safe.
And that's a huge issue here in Washington, D.C. as well, Mayor Fenty, the safety of schools. How does the mayoral control change that?
You know, the great thing here in the District of Columbia is a couple of years ago they actually put the police department in charge of the schools because of this issue. What we think we can do is follow some best practices where just because the mayor may be in charge of the safety of the schools, we don't just rely on police officers. And some of our high schools with more crime, what they really need is more mayoral services. So we think by having more services from, say, parks and recreation, after-school programs, maybe even our juvenile justice and child welfare agencies, and then having kind of peer intervention groups substitute where we have police officers, we think that it's got the remaining bridge will be bridged because the mayor being in charge of not only the schools but all of the social service agencies will be able to have them working together in the school system.
Monica, thanks for the call, and we wish your child the best of luck. And we're talking with the newly elected mayor of Washington, D.C., Adrian Fenty, with Julie Westerhoff, who's with PURE, that's the Parents United for Responsible Education in Chicago, and with Arnie Duncan, chief executive officer of Chicago's Public Schools. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Claire on the line. Claire with us from Iowa City.
Hi. I've been listening to this, and I'm a recent public school graduate. And one thing that I've noticed is that there's a lot of talk about parents and mayors. Obviously, I mean, that makes sense. But one thing that's been lacking is a talk about the students. I mean, they're the ones who are in the school. They're the ones who know the most about what's going on in the schools and how they feel and whether they feel secure and whether they are learning. I mean, I know that in my school, nobody would listen to the students ever. You'd have a complaint about a teacher, whether the teacher was even verging on abusive. The school administrations don't really listen to the students. They think that the students are very, out for their own interests. They are just talking because they want to get a good grade or the teacher gave them a detention or something. Now, I was wondering how you guys want to deal with the student input. After all, they are who we're.
Go ahead, Arnie Duncan.
It's a great question, and I agree. Here in Chicago, we never listen to students enough historically, and one major, major change we've put in the past year is actually a student survey. We started with the high school students, and now we're moving into the elementary schools as well, and it's amazing that we've never asked our students what they thought, and we had some very, very smart students here. And so that student survey gets way beyond test scores and asks, do you feel teachers have high expectations for you? Do you feel safe? Is there an adult in the school who you can go to if you have a problem? And these survey results have been fascinating. We've been very public with them, the good, the bad, the ugly, very transparent with results. We actually publish a report card summary each year, what we call a high school scorecard. And what we're going to do, and all this data is absolutely public and on our website, and each year we're asking schools to compete to get better and improve those numbers. And so it is critically important to have that student voice at the table, and we're trying to do that in a major way, both at the high school level and now at the elementary level. Mm-hmm. The other thing we've tried to do is, the mayor talked about some of the crime and violence problems. One thing we thought is that we were arresting too many students here in Chicago. We've tried to do a lot with peer juries and really getting teens to take responsibility for their behavior. And we had a major story, a front page headline in here just a week or two ago, talking about the significant reduction in crime in our schools and violence. And, you know, more police are a small piece of the answer. The larger piece is to have students really be invested in their schools to be a part of the success. And engaging students, not just in the surveys, but really in helping to lead the schools, we think is critically important. And we want to continue to challenge ourselves to get better at those things every single year.
Julie Westerhoff, I wanted to get your input on this.
Well, I'd like to just say that another model of in Chicago is what we call our five essential supports. And what that is it's an approach to school reform that it is not test score centered, but it's based on looking at the whole school, including how the students feel and whether the students are really being engaged in their education. And I think that's so important because we're so test score crazy now that students are finding that their education is being boiled down to just learning things that might end up on the test. And that turns students off. It's not going to keep them in the classroom. It's not going to keep them awake even. So I do want to mention that it is extremely important, and I want to also congratulate Mr. Duncan for the work that they've been doing with the students. I know they're also going to be adding a parent involvement survey to that in the coming year. And these things are very important, but we have to look at the real models that are working and not just focus on the test scores. And when we do that, I think we'll be coming up with better answers.
Claire, thanks very much for the call. There's a couple of great questions, and I wanted to get Mayor Fenty back on as well. We're going to take a short break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
And can you guys in Chicago stay with us for a couple more minutes?
Sure thing.
Great. All right. We'll be back with more with Arne Duncan, the Chief Executive Officer of the Chicago Public Schools, the newly elected mayor of Washington, D.C., Adrian Fenty, and Julie Westerhoff of Pure. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're winding up our conversation on who controls or who should control public schools. Our guests are Arne Duncan, the Chief Executive Officer of Chicago Public Schools, Julie Westerhoff, the Executive Director of Parents United for Responsible Education. They're both in our bureau in Chicago. Adrian Fenty is here with us in Studio 3A. He's the mayor of Washington, D.C. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Skaya. Skaya's with us from Kansas City.
Hi. I have a question about curriculum development and how mayoral control would affect curriculum development, because curriculum seems to me to either make or break students in a lot of ways, and there's such a lack of standardization, even though we've moved towards standardized testing, that I fear that with mayoral control we'd move even further away and have little pockets of different curriculums floating around all over the place. And I just wonder what the mayor's opinion on that is.
Mayor Fenty, who controls the curriculum?
Well, you know, I really think that that goes to the expert, and that's the chancellor and the academic specialist under the chancellor. Here's what we've found. One of the interesting things here in Washington, D.C., is it looks like more and more our current superintendent, who reports to an half-elected Board of Education, you know, is warming to the idea of the superintendent reporting to the mayor. And I think that is because, you know, more than anything, people who want to establish a curriculum, who want to have a real strong academic standards, want to be able to implement them. And under the board structure that we have now and in other places, every single decision that needs to be made has to be run through 9 people. That's not a system that a CEO really can get things done. So even talking about things like curriculum and standards, I think this is a better system.
Arne Duncan, who sets the curriculum in Chicago?
Well, it's actually fascinating. We got here, we found 86 different math curriculum in our schools, and not just across the system, but sometimes within the same building and sometimes within the same grade in the same building. There was sort of fair amount of disarray and incoherence. And given the fact that we have significant student mobility, we have poor families moving across the city, that kind of thing, again, simply hurts children. So what we've done, we've tried to really strike what I think is a very thoughtful balance. There is no one magic curriculum. I wish there was. It's not that simple. But we've tried to do is significantly streamline, get 2 to 3 world-class curriculum at the elementary level, you know, math and reading, high school as well, and then ask local schools to pick from that narrow menu of options. As a district, we can increase our capacity to support that. Teachers are desperately looking for better professional development, so they've really welcomed it. And so I think it's a really good balance of having a narrow menu of options that you control, but then have local buy-in at the school level from the department chairs, from the principals and teachers, and then really build our capacity to support those handful of curriculum across the district. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason you're seeing the kind of progress and momentum here in Chicago today.
Julie Westerhoff, is it working?
Well, one thing that happened when the mayor took over in Chicago was that we immediately had a teaching to the test movement in the city, where the students were taking the Iowa test every year, and the whole curriculum became geared around that, and it was a very narrowed curriculum. So that's a huge concern, and I think people need to be very wary of overemphasis on standardized testing.
To be fair, that's not just in mayoral-controlled schools.
Absolutely. It's across the country. However, the political issue happens when those annual test scores come out. In Illinois, we haven't seen our test scores yet. Mr. Duncan's been talking about them, but they haven't been released publicly yet. But the fact is, you know, we see those test scores and the headlines come out and, you know, somebody's up 1 percentage point or somebody's down 10 percentage points, and all kinds of conclusions are drawn from that. You know, we really are almost at the mercy of the annual standardized tests these days, which really don't give us good enough information. So that's why we need to go back to the idea of looking at your local school. Parents have the right under No Child Left Behind to go in and look in the classroom and see what the instruction is in the school and to find out what the curriculum is. And we parents really need to take that that right and be in the school and find out what is really happening on a day-to-day basis, how we can support our children at home, what our children are being expected to do. And that's the kind of information we really need. It's much more important than the annual standardized test scores.
Skaya, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. There's so many more questions that we don't have time to get to. There, obviously, the input of teachers, and there's rumblings of union busting in Chicago, and I'm sure you may run into some of those same questions here in Washington, D.C., but we're running out of time. We're going to give the last question to Joe. Joe's with us from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead, please, Joe.
I just had a quick question. I'm wondering, if the mayors are in control of the schools, when are they going to have time to do all their other mayoral duties? I think that someone who's in control of the school should really have the time to dedicate to it, because I think it would require a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. How do we know that if the mayor's in control of our school, that our schools are going to be getting the attention they need?
Mayor Fenty, this is going to be your problem.
Yeah, the great thing that we have going for us now is we've seen mayors who have proposed having the superintendent report to the mayor and seen success. In Chicago, we've got one example, but we also have another example in New York, and these are not any small cities. I mean, Chicago and New York are two of the biggest cities in this country, and they've been able to demonstrate through Richard Daley and Michael Bloomberg that they not only can run the schools and run the schools better than when a board did it, but they can also make serious advancements. I think the crime has gone down in both of those cities at dramatic levels. The cities are working a lot better. People are moving back to the cities, and the waterfronts are being revitalized. So I think that mayors are showing that not only that they can do a good job in running school systems and making them better, but continue to do all the great things that need to happen in a city. In the District of Columbia, although we're a big city of almost 600,000 residents, you know, compared with those two cities, we're small, and I think we'll be able to manage it just fine.
Joe, thanks very much for the call. And we'd like to thank our guests, Mayor Fenty. I appreciate you
coming
by.
Thank you very much. Best to your listeners.
Adrian Fenty with us here in Studio 3A. And our guests in Chicago, Arne Duncan, Chief Executive Officer of Chicago's Public Schools at our Bureau in Chicago. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, and wish Mayor Fenty all the best. Washington's lucky to have him.
Thanks a lot.
He said thanks a lot. His mic wasn't on. And Julie Westerhoff, who is Executive Director of Parents United for Responsible Education, also with us from our Bureau in Chicago. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And when we come back, it's time for the Opinion Page.